Every year in Rosh Hashanah, I am really privileged and honored to announce something very special, and that is that tonight is Kol Mashiach's 28th anniversary. So, you have a picture? We don't know who took this picture, but years later, someone gave us this picture. So it was September 1989, on this evening, we had our first service, and it happened to be a Erev Rosh Hashanah service. We had this, it was at our home in our family room, and we sort of packed the place out. And like I said, I don't know who took the picture. I don't know if we'll ever know who took that picture, but we're just glad that we have it so that we could use it each and every year. So 28 years, we have been serving our community and bringing the good news of Yeshua to Brevard County. And of course, now Harry has forced me to say an Indian River County. So actually, we say the Space Coast, right? So we are bringing the good news of Yeshua to the Space Coast, and it's wonderful. And so this is our 28th anniversary. There's a story that's told about the famous Sherlock Holmes and his trusted side, Dr. Watson, who had to leave London en route to solve a very difficult case up in the north. And so they were traveling by horse-drawn wagon, and when night fell, it was time for them to set up camp, and they were not in any areas where there were towns. And so they brought a tent with them, and they erected this tent, and they ate their dinner. And then the two of them turned in for the night. And in the middle of the night, Sherlock Holmes awoke with a start, and he looked around, and he nudged Dr. Watson out of a deep sleep, and he said, "My dear Watson, look about you and tell me what you see." And Watson rubbed his eyes, and allowing them to adjust to the darkness, he gazed up into the heavens and he said, "Well, sir, I see planets and I see stars and I see distant galaxies and I see the universe and the majesty of the eternity." And Sherlock Holmes replied, "Watson, precisely, someone has stolen our tent." Yeah. You know, sometimes we see things differently, each and every one of us. So I use this as an example. Our observances are different from one person to the next. And so this is one of the wonderful things that we have about the Gospels, because we have different Gospels written by different men. And so they all give us a little different view and a little different angle of the days of Yeshua walking the earth for a 3.5 year period, and then beyond that. And so we see when we get a chance to see things from different angles, it gives us a greater and different picture. But from person to person, we all perceive at different levels. Some people never look at the relationship of things around them with God. And then there are some people that over-spiritualize everything. They super-spiritualize everything. Both of those groups can drive me absolutely crazy, by the way. But people have different views. Then, of course, we have people that are sort of midline, and they will spiritualize things at the appropriate time, and they will, at the appropriate time, they'll observe things around them, realizing, yes, that there is an eternity out there and that God is present. But we have these two groups, so we all tend to do these things. Certainly, this is what happened with Watson and Holmes. The Torah portion read on Rosh Hashanah is Genesis 21 for our day of Rosh Hashanah. And so tomorrow morning, we will, in the middle of our service, we will have a Torah service within the middle of our Rosh Hashanah service. And so I want to just for briefly for a minute just talk about this, because the account of Isaac's birth is in that chapter. And so we read about the birth of Isaac, Yitzchak, and his name was Laughter. And of course, you know, we know that he was given the name Laughter when he was born, because when God went to Abraham and Sarah and said to them at their old age of 90 and 100 years old that they would have a child of promise, and Sarah laughed at God because she thought it was funny that at 90 years old that she would have a child. And so when the prophecy came true, she named him, in really in a sense, in a way to honor God, she named him Yitzchak, which means laughter, because she did laugh at the very thought that she would have a child at that age. And I'm not going to get into the portion a lot because, you know, we have our speaker, Rabbi Michael Stepakov, is going to be speaking tomorrow, and I don't know how much of the Torah portion is going to be in his message. And so I don't want to step on his toes this morning. And so I really didn't want to speak much about the portion. But I bring this up for one reason, because this is the new year. This is the civil new year. Now, we understand there are a few different new years in Judaism. This is our civil new year. God told us that Passover was to be our new year. And so this is our civil new year. And so it's given Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year. But technically, biblically, it's called Yom Teruah or Yom HaTeruah, because after the sounding of the shofar, Teruah, it's a word that is the sound that we are to hear. And so biblically, this is what it is, but we call it Rosh Hashanah. We call it the head of the year because it is the civil head of the year. And so we are ending a year. And what a way to end our year, people. We have struggled. We have Irma. We finally got rid of Irma. Then Jose was creeping up on us. We didn't know what was going to happen. Now Maria is causing all kinds of havoc in Puerto Rico right now. We have an earthquake in Mexico that just happened yesterday. We are ending the year. What a year to end. And so for us, with Irma, just for us here in Florida, we have struggled emotionally. We have struggled physically, some of us. Some of us have struggled financially because of what Irma did. But we have all these situations. So now there's a way, you know, let's look at it at a little different angle and then let's move on and get on with our lives and get on with our relationship with the Lord. We're ending. And now, if you think about it, today is the first day of your life, starting tomorrow morning. And if you think about it, we are beginning tomorrow by opening the Torah, and we are reading about Yitzchak, laughter. And so we are beginning our year with laughter. Laughter that God has given us from his word that he wrote thousands of years ago. I can't say for sure that this is what it's to be, and so saith the Lord, but it's a good way for us to look at it. We are beginning a new year with laughter. Let's begin a new year with laughter in our hearts because we have a wonderful relationship with the living God, with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, with the God of the nations. And so I think we should look at it in this way, and it'll help us, carry us through any of the struggles that we may have had and left behind, and even some of the things that are happening right now in Puerto Rico and in the islands and in Mexico. And we can get on with our lives. Today is the first day of the rest of our lives. It's a line that we've heard again and again, but it's so true. And so here we are with an opportunity to do something special when we wake up tomorrow and we look at it in that way. Now, keeping in mind Sherlock and Watson, I want to tell you another little story. Usually I don't tell a lot of stories and a lot of jokes. You know, maybe I'll tell you one story and that's enough. But I want to tell you this story because I think it's so significant for what we are doing this evening and tomorrow. There was a boy that received a gift of his very own shofar. And Rosh Hashanah was approaching. And so he was so excited to practice blowing the shofar. And as much as he tried, he just couldn't get any sound out of the shofar. And so each day during the month of Elul, he practiced. And he tried to get sound out of it. And he couldn't get any good sounds out of it at all. He would spend at least an hour every day holding that shofar to his mouth. In various positions, maybe he did it the wrong way, maybe he needs to move it around his lips a little bit more. So the day before Rosh Hashanah, he was practicing outside of his home, and a farmer came walking by. And the farmer said, "What's that?" And the boy said, "It's a shofar." And the farmer said, "What's a shofar?" And so the boy explained, "It's a ram's horn. And we blow it in the synagogue to commemorate Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year. God commanded us to blow the ram's horn." And so the farmer said, "Can I try it?" And he took the shofar and he held it up to his lips. And out came this wonderful tekiah. And the boy was like totally amazed. And then he just handed it back to the boy and he walked away. Well, the boy ran as fast as he could to the synagogue. And he went to the rabbi. And he said to the rabbi, "Rabbi, you've been giving me tips on how to blow this shofar, trying to teach me how to blow it." And he was choking back the tears, he said, "It's just not fair. I spent all this time for more than a month to practice to blow the shofar. And this farmer who had never even heard of a shofar, he didn't even know what it was. And he gets this beautiful sound out of it." And the rabbi heard the boy's anguish and he said to the boy, "The commandment isn't a commandment to blow the shofar. The commandment is in the listening of the shofar, to hear the shofar, and to make the shofar do something to your heart." And so the blessing is, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commands us to hear the sound of the shofar." And that is the blessing that we say. You know, too many times instinctively we get self-centered. It's just part of our nature. And we get self-centered and things become about us. And so it becomes about what can we do? How can we do it? And so in that way, it becomes about us. God wants us to hear his heavenly call. It's not about the blowing of the shofar. It's not about the blowing of the shofar. It's about the hearing of the shofar. And this is what we are supposed to do at Rosh Hashanah. The shofar and the blowing and the hearing of the shofar does a few things. And as believers, I want to give just a few scriptures this evening for us to relate to this. So we could put up our first Kings, our first scripture. It's about the announcing of a king. There let Zadok, the priest, and Natan, the prophet, anoint him king over Israel, and blow the shofar, and say, long live King Solomon. So in the days of Israel, when they were proclaiming a king, the shofar was blasted. That hearing meant that there would be a new king. The shofar is blown at the call for Israel to repent of their sins, Isaiah and Hosea. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a shofar. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. And from Hosea 8:1, set the shofar to your mouth. He shall come like an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and rebelled against my law, my Torah. And so both Isaiah and Hosea, the prophets, speak of the blowing, the sound of the shofar to call the people to repent of their sins. And certainly we know that Rosh Hashanah is the time of the year as we hear the sounding of the shofar. It calls us together to look at our lives, as I read just a few minutes ago, to look at our lives, to see what we have done maybe throughout the year that maybe needs some tweaking here and there. And so it's a call for repentance of sin. The blowing and the hearing of the shofar is connected with the approach of God Himself. Joel 2:1. Blow the shofar in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. And so there will be a heavenly shofar blown when the Lord returns. Now, interestingly enough, in Judaism, it is Yom Kippur that is considered the holiest day of the year. But there are many Christians that consider Rosh Hashanah to be more important because somehow they believe maybe this is going to be the day that the shofar is sound and we're all going to be taken up. And so it's a sort of a self-centered thing that they have. But the holiest day of the year is Yom Kippur, not Rosh Hashanah. We're glad everyone is here this evening. But in 10 days, we have Yom Kippur. It's the holiest of the days. But the shofar is sounded at the approach of God. And then at the returning of Messiah. Well, certainly, when God returns, Messiah returns. Why? Because Messiah is God. So we see from 1 Thessalonians 4, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the shofar of God, and the dead in Messiah will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. These are just a few wonderful scriptures that tell us what should stir up inside of us when we hear the sound of the shofar. You know, it's not about, and when I say this, I hope you understand, it's not about, I'm blowing the shofar, I blow the shofar. It's not. It's the hearing of the shofar. Even if that little boy couldn't blow that shofar perfectly, it's okay. because his heart was right, his intent was right, and if something came out of that shofar, no matter what came out of it, God would make sure that it's a special sound that comes out of it. I believe that. You know, it's just like when, and I, you know, I've said this maybe a few years ago, but I love to, you know, because I'm up here and I hear, sometimes I can people hear singing, you know, praise and worship, particularly in the worship songs when they're, you know, nice and slow, and I can hear people singing. And sometimes I hear people singing and they're not the greatest singers, but you know what? You know what makes me feel great? That they're singing, that they're worshiping the Lord. It's not like, well, I don't sing that well. I don't want to sing. It's not the singing. God hears our singing. It's not about the singing. It's about what comes out of our mouths and out of our hearts. And so when I hear people sometimes, and every once in a while I would hear people, and I hear someone singing and, you know, they're singing off key and everything. It's okay. You know what? It's happened sometimes where I just feel real good about it because I know where that person's heart is. They're singing. They don't care what they sound like. They're just singing to the Lord. And you know what? We all sound good to the Lord if we're the best singers or the worst singers. Amen? It's true. So maybe next time we have some music, everybody get in and sing. Don't worry about that. It's the hearing. It's not the ability to do it. So it's not, I can blow the shofar. I can blow the shofar. Let's all get together and blow the shofars. It's the hearing that is supposed to be the mitzvah. It's the hearing of the shofar. It's about our response when we hear it as believers. Just a few of these scriptures. As believers in Yeshua, there should be joy. And we should remember these things when we hear the shofar. It should bring joy to our hearts because we know. It calls us together to repent. We know that we have repented. We haven't been forced to do it. But we did it because we want to do it. We have asked God to forgive us of our sins. We know that one day the Lord will return. We know that God is going to return. We know that Messiah is going to return. We know that we will be with God for all eternity. These are the things that we should, when we hear that sound of the shofar, these things should just come to mind, maybe just flash before our eyes. These are the things that we should think about. The joy that knowing who the real king is. It won't be Solomon. It won't be King David. It will be King Messiah this next time that it happens. Amen. Not only the real king, but he will be the final king. How our sins are forgiven and the reality of the return of the bridegroom to the bride. You know, in ancient Judaism, in the wedding custom, the bridegroom would come to get the bride. And there would be a shofar that was sounded to signal that the bridegroom was coming to get the bride. We are his bride. And when we hear that final blast of the heavenly shofar, it is signaling us that Messiah is coming back to get his bride. These were his last words on his lips before he gave his last breath. The Bible says, it says it is finished, but he said the word kala. Kala means it is finished, but kala means bride. His last words were bride. And then he gave up his last breath. So welcome to the first day of your lives, people. Amen? La Shana Tova. Have a good year. Have a good start. There's a good year ahead. No matter what has happened in our lives, and it's happening even right now around us, make it the best. Draw closer to God. Let God minister to you each and every day. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord.